Local Marketing for Small Business, episode 101.
And there's no stopping us right now. I feel so close to you right now.
Welcome to Act Local, Marketing for Small Business with your host, Kaylin Amadio. Kaylin helps smart, savvy, and motivated business owners like you kick it up a notch online, even if you've tried and been disappointed before, or technology just isn't your thing. Act Local will leave you with more ideas, more understanding, and more knowledge about why and how harnessing the internet gives you the power to bring your business to the next level. Whether you need help with online media, social media, video, or mobile marketing, Act Local will guide you into the 21st century with easy tips, tricks, and techniques that get your local business seen and heard. Each week, Kaylin features a new tip you can use today, as well as a range of guest experts who are passionate about helping local business owners thrive. And now here's your host, digital media maven, Kaylin Amadio.
Welcome to Act Local, Marketing for Small Business, episode 101. Yes, we are turning the dial and starting again at one. Thank you, Alan Berkson, for helping me do that 100th episode. That was a monumental occasion. Thank you so much for turning the mic around. And I'm excited to be here starting again at one, episode 101. I'm Kaylin Amadio. I am your trainer here in the Act Local Marketing Classroom. Don't miss a single episode of Act Local, because you can find the podcast feed at actlocalmarketing.com. That is where we post a new episode every Tuesday afternoon at 1 p.m. Eastern Time to help you grow your business. Listen to any podcast recordings directly on the website, or you can feel free to subscribe and download on iTunes or Stitcher. Each week, I bring a new guest expert to help grow your business. And I always keep a special strategy to share with you that I like to call today's takeaway. That's where you get at least one action item that you can walk away with today to implement and grow your business. And that is just really my way of saying thank you, and I'm glad you're here, because that's what this is all about here at Act Local Marketing, sharing high quality inside information that you can use right now to become more profitable down the road. I'm speaking today with a journalist and author who can help you get your expert story told so it can become an integral part of your marketing strategy. So stay tuned. You don't want to miss this interview. I have often said that I truly believe everyone is an expert at something. In your business, you are most definitely an expert, and probably an expert on several aspects of what you do in your business on a daily basis. We all tend to forget how valuable our expertise can be when we share it with someone who has no clue whatsoever about the subject. So please don't short yourself. Don't tell yourself, this is nothing special, everybody knows this. If that were the case, you couldn't sell your expertise for a living. Everyone does not know what you know. And even other professionals who do know what you know, who do the exact same thing you do, learned that expertise and experienced it through different filters than you did. Only you have your unique take on that expertise, on that knowledge. And that, my friends, is quite valuable. So let's discuss today's takeaway. I promised you one action item, at the very least, that you could take with you to grow your business right now. So here it is. There are many local business owners in both professional services and retail, product categories that have difficulty figuring out what kind of book they could write for their business, for marketing, to use as part of their marketing platform. So here's an excellent place to start. You may have heard me say this before. Write down the 10 most frequently asked questions that you get from clients or customers in your business. Identifying and answering those 10 questions is a great foundation for a book. then consider adding 10 should ask questions to that list. Again, a should ask question is a question your customer or client should be asking you, but doesn't yet know enough about your service or products to realize that they need to be asking the question. Those answers to the should ask questions literally are pure gold and will make your book different than every other book on the shelf about the same topic. No one will have your exact viewpoint, and that is immensely valuable. That's today's takeaway. If you have any questions about the lesson today, please send me an email to ask@actlocalmarketing.com. Before I introduce today's guest, please connect with me. Go to actlocalmarketing.com and follow the social media links to me so that I can meet you in the big virtual infinite world of the internet. Use the hashtag, remember that's the pound sign, or hashtag actlocalmarketing to continue any conversation you hear on the podcast. And do me a favor and tell your social media followers and people that you network with in person about Act Local Marketing for Small Business podcast. It would be fantabulous of you to subscribe and leave a review in iTunes. Those reviews help me get noticed within the iTunes store and their format, and it helps change our rankings and lets me get in front of more baby boomers who happen to be my clients so that together I can work with them and we can heal the economy by growing our collective businesses. A thriving business generates a prosperous local economy, and that's what I'm trying to make happen. One boomer at a time, one business at a time, one community at a time. We are going to take a quick break, and when we return, I have Shelley Gillespie here. She's ready to step to the front of the room, so stay tuned.
Act Local is the place where busy entrepreneurs like you gain more ideas, more understanding, and more knowledge about why and how harnessing the internet gives them the power to bring their business to the next level. Kaylin returns after a short break with more strategies and techniques to develop your inner warrior. We'll be right back.
Hey, Act Local fans, this is Kaylin Amadio, and I have an exciting announcement. Today, October 7th, 2014, I'm launching a new podcast to celebrate the realization of a dream. You've heard me speak often on Act Local about the book I've been writing. Well, that book is becoming a reality. I have a contract to publish The Boomer's Ultimate Guide to Social Media. Soon, baby boomers everywhere will have all my strategies and guidelines in one swell book that'll help them build a map to social media success. To help promote The Boomer's Ultimate Guide to Social Media and subsequent books in this series, I've put together The Boomer's Ultimate Guide podcast, where boomers like me and like you can come together to learn, share, and grow a thriving business and a vibrant life. This podcast is 30 minutes in length and comes in both audio and video formats. I interview guest experts on business, finance, health, wellness, longevity, food, sex, dating, and more. You don't want to miss this next chapter in my life because I'm going to help you live yours more fully. Check out Boomer's Ultimate Guide Podcast.
Welcome to Act Local, marketing for small business with your host, Kaylin Amadio. Kaylin helps smart, savvy, and motivated business owners like you kick it up a notch online, even if you've tried and been disappointed before, or technology just isn't your thing. Act Local will leave you with more ideas, more understanding, and more knowledge about why and how harnessing the internet gives you the power to bring your business to the next level. And now here's your host, digital media maven, Kaylin Amadio.
Welcome back. This is Kaylin Amadio, and you are listening to Act Local, marketing for small business. And as promised, I want to introduce you to today's guest, Shelley Gillespie. Shelley is an award-winning journalist, writer, speaker, educator, trainer, marketing, and writing consultant. Shelley founded Book Writing Success Coach to assist people with the many writing projects that they want to complete. As a writing consultant, she has provided inspired copy that helped organizations and small businesses win clients and business and spur donations. And that's a really important point because this is the time of year when nonprofits really see their greatest giving. So fundraisers out there, listen up. She helped raise $9.3 million for a nonprofit and save a community $5 million annually. We're going to talk about attracting clients and keeping them. Shelley Gillespie, welcome to ACT Local Marketing. It's a pleasure to meet you.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate your asking me on the show.
Well, I'm glad you had time for us. You don't know this, but the first time I meet someone here on ACT Local, I always ask them, I read a little bio so that people know who you are, but I also ask them to share their entrepreneurial journey with us, you know, in a nutshell, the short version of how you came to be doing what it is you do. You know, how did you get to be the boss of you?
Oh, well, I've been bossing myself for years, but I started out, initially I was supposed to go out in the world and be an English teacher. That didn't work out. I managed a shopping mall, did all their marketing too. Boy, they got a lot of work out of me. And I've done a number of jobs for the years in the corporate world, crafted statements for everybody under the sun from a vision eyewear company to a safety vision eyewear company to working for two nonprofits in Washington, D.C. So I guess I could say I'm a refugee from 9/11. And about 12 years ago, my husband and I came out to Arizona. And I sort of fell into journalism. I'd always been a writer, you know, as a marketing consultant and working for companies in the marketing capacity. I always wound up writing, be it newsletters or you name it, press releases, everything, you know, chief cook and bottle washer in the writing department. Yeah, so when I got out here, I was casting around because we had decided to come out and a job I had fell through because of 9/11. I was interviewed a few days before 9/11 and the job went away because it was a travel-related company and that went down the tubes after that. So I was out here and I was like, what am I going to do? Bumped into a woman who ran a local newspaper in the city I'm still living in, which shocks me. And the next thing you know, I was writing for a little, and then it became full-time, like my whole life, 7 days a week, no time to do anything else, what's sleep, you know, that kind of thing. And after doing that for about 8 years or so, the paper was sold in the interim. That's the period in time in which I won the State Journalism Award. And to identify the $5 million, I got wind of the fact that our local water company wanted to raise rates, and they were trying to slip it in under the radar with the state organization that passes on those kind of things and agrees to rate increases. And in the height of the recession, they were trying to get a 9% increase. And we have a lot of seniors here who are on fixed incomes, and that was just untenable. So I started doing research, and the next thing I knew, my one little story mushroomed to a four-part series, and it mobilized the community, and this is the part I love the best. We mobilized the community. We got the people who are on the regulatory board to come down to our city. They were getting, they said, mailbags of complaints, and that's a communication thing. The seniors were writing letters. Real old-fashioned letters. And they finally came down, and we didn't just nag and whine. We gave them real solid evidence that this company was not worthy of a 9% increase. And after a series of hearings for which we bussed about four busloads up to Phoenix, where their headquarters was, they knocked $5 million for 5 years out of the amount that they were just going to rubber stamp before this all happened and just give that company that much money. So everybody was jubilant and excited. And I think it even led to our mayor becoming mayor because he helped mobilize the people. So it was just a wonderful community effort, and I was very proud of it. And at first I was kind of down about it because, oh, we didn't win. We didn't get the increase totally down, you know, off the table. And they said, no, you've won. You've knocked $5 million a year that they're not going to take from the citizens' pocketbooks. Sure, so that was a really great feeling. So that's as nutshelly as you can.
Well,
that's
thank
kind
you.
Of my story. Oh, and I also, for 2 years, overlapping, but after that, I wrote for the Arizona Republic as a freelancer. So about a year ago, I went to a workshop, and a woman said, you need to be book writing success coach. It was almost like a W, book writing success coach. And I said, really? Okay. Because I guess the element of trying to help people came through. I had written a book called Hiking for the Couch Potato, A Guide for the Exercise Challenged, and a children's book that came from that. And so as a result of that, she saw that and thought, well, she's good at helping people. I've through the years coached and counseled people. And so as a result of that, that's what I became. And I put out the brand and worked on it, have some clients, some really trying to do things to help other people express their messages.
Well, that's you've hit me at a perfect time, because I've been going through this same thing. I've been writing all my life, but I've never called myself a writer. I always had other types of vocations, but my first book is going to get published next year. So I'm starting to feel like I can really say, oh, I am a writer. So I always love to talk about the craft, right? About writing.
Absolutely.
And of course, in my consulting business, where I deal with small business owners, and you know, smaller divisions of companies in how to use their digital marketing, right? And social media is a big part of that. And of course, writing and getting your message right is a big part of it. And of course, for individuals, writing a book is a great way for marketing as
sure,
well.
Sure.
So I was anxious to be able to talk to you about some of these things. So in terms of business, because we're going to talk about how to, you know, build business, help people build these businesses.
Sure,
What are the key points that businesses should consider when they're doing their promoting?
Well, first of all, they need to target their market. If they target their market and know who they're trying to reach, if they're looking for pet owners, they're not going to be in certain quadrants. You need to find who you're dealing with and where they hang out. Because if you're dealing with a senior, now this isn't universally so, but if your market is seniors, you don't want to go with texting. Most of them don't do texting. And if you want to work with seniors, you also have to have things in written form that are printed. Usually people see that. I've dealt with a number of different things, and I noticed an interesting little trend lately. I do still get a newspaper, but I look online as well. And I found recently they were advertising to get people to come to a premiere in a theater of a particular new movie. And one time I saw it, and they asked people to text, and it was a younger skewed movie. And another time they had you call in. And I thought that was very significant, because the call-in one was for an older skewed kind of movie. And I thought, very interesting, they're working the demographics. So that's what I recommend people do. If you're working with a local place, you may want to go with local radio. You may want to go, and I've over the years actually written some of my own radio copy for the shopping mall I did and had good success with it. But people are busy. If you're in a place where people commute, radio can still sometimes work. I think NPR does well because of that. So there are a lot of things involved. Where do they get their information? That's really where it comes down to. So if you want to send an email, sometimes that's still effective. Are they in affinity groups? Do they still get things through the mail? I mean, so you have to analyze your audience to figure out who you're trying to reach. I've had people say, oh, I want everyone to be my client. That's not going to work for you. You need to target it and segment it and hit the right groups, as I indicated for those films I was mentioning.
I'm glad to hear you say that. I'm also glad to hear you say not to discount any kind of media. You know, because we're talking, you could have clients from 90 to 20,
mm-hmm.
right?
Or, yeah.
Or 15, maybe even
yeah.
younger than 20. So
sure.
You're talking about a large swath of people who are familiar with various forms of communication and who gravitate to certain forms. So
absolutely.
Just because, you know, I talk about all the digital stuff and I talk about, you know, social media ad nauseum, even to me, I get sick of talking about it, you know, because I feel like it's the only thing that I'm ever concentrating on sometimes. And it's not the only thing out there, but it's what everyone wants to know about, because it's, you know, one of these hot button topics, you know, what's happening online. That's not the only way to reach people. So I'm happy to hear you remind business owners out there, especially local. That's what this show's about. Act local.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're trying to reach people within a community. So you really have to, first of all, know who your client is, right? Who your ideal client is.
Sure.
And where are they going to gravitate towards? And that's going to have a lot to do with how old they are,
mm-hmm.
you know, and whether they have children or not. You need to know all those things, all those
sure.
demographic things about your client.
And you still might even want to go to physical meetings where you hang out with a certain clientele, the Rotary, the Kiwanis groups, those kind of things. I'm starting to hit that speaking circuit within the next few months where I'm going to be talking to different people, entrepreneurial groups if you're trying to reach some of those kind of people. So networking groups for males, females, who knows?
Right.
So I've been working with them because my business is with helping people with books is a very interpersonal kind of thing. And just announcing that I'm this wonderful coach doesn't get it sometimes. You have to say, okay, what's your issue? And I'll mention, anyone who's involved with this call, you're welcome to contact me for a 20-minute complimentary consultation. I offer that because that gives people a chance to focus on what their needs are. And then when we talk, I can help crystallize some of their discussions. And if we go further than that, great. If not, I'm glad I've helped people. So that's what I offer.
Right.
Well, yeah.
You know, talking about writing, I mean, marketing is a large umbrella and there's a lot of ways to reach people, but a lot of it, you know, has to do with the copy and the writing that people mm-hmm. are going to be reading. Why is writing essential? Whether you're doing it yourself or you're having someone do it for you, you know, what is essential about it?
Well, even though there may only be 140 characters, of course, I'm referring to Twitter, you have to make every word and every letter count. And so I'll give an example of something that just blew my mind. Just a few weeks ago, a statewide organization that deals with hundreds of businesses had a major gaffe, at least from my perspective. Maybe people didn't pick up on it. But the headline should have been Y-O-U apostrophe R-E, you are. And this was a headline on an online announcement, and they put Y-O-U-R. And I thought, oh my goodness, they're going to look illiterate. Many people won't get the difference because they don't know the difference either. And I'm constantly trying to teach people the difference between your and your and it's and there and there and there. And I put an email into, or I responded to that. And the gentleman who was responsible for it, I could just tell he's major embarrassed. He was really upset. But the words can be very, very important because you reach people. I have a funny story I tell about what the words can do. I was running a series of family-oriented lunch group meeting things for a county government I was working for. And I had a series of questions I was asking after the session just to get feedback. And what was really funny about it was in my mindset, I was asking, what did they think about the seminar? Did they like it? But I asked things to get a feel for what their background was. So the one question I asked was, how many children do you have? Now, instead of saying for the next question, how do you feel about the seminar? I instead put a very cryptic, do you want more? That was right after the question where I asked about how many children they had and their ages. Well, the answers I got were things like, never, I've been spayed, I've been neutered, kids, oh my God, no. And I was getting the answers for the wrong question because I hadn't phrased it right. Well, it caused a lot of laughter in my audience. I didn't tell them who said what, but it was really funny because you have to think about the context. I mean, spayed, neutered to, do you want more more sessions like this? It was a session on child development. So it was so funny because you just never know. I had, and this is really hits you where it's business. I had been involved with a company and they threw a flyer in front of me and gave me maybe 30 seconds to look at it. Tell us what you think. I didn't have a chance to read it thoroughly and look at it. Do you know that particular piece went out without any contact information? There was no way for anybody. This is going to be used in multiple ways, mailed to people, used at a conference, used for a drawing for a prize, and nowhere was there contact information. And so the whole intent of their project was blown because they didn't give me a chance to actually look at it carefully. And, you know, how much can you pick up and whisk it under your nose and take it away? So that's very important because they wasted the time, money, and effort with a piece that cost a lot of work and dealing with a vendor, and this was just very sad. So it's very important that the words are there and that they're not there and embarrassing you. As the newspaper I wrote for, I'd written a story, and somebody told me this story was written about 10 years ago, and they reminded me of it and razzed me about it. I had written about this gentleman who had a degree in public administration, and I talked about his position, which is public administration. And throughout the article, public administration was mentioned about 5 times. One time, I mistyped it and left out the L in public.
Oh, my goodness. Nobody caught it.
Well, everybody who worked with this guy did. It was way deep in the article. It was way near the end, but they saw it. And I never heard the end of it. As I just indicated, this very week, I met with a guy who's with that same government. And he said, you know, I still have that article where you left out in the L in public. And we both laughed. And the poor guy was given a lot of razzing, too. But I actually talked to another journalist at a workshop I was giving. And she said their little newspaper had it below the fold on the front page without the L. And nobody caught it. And out to hundreds and hundreds of people. So it can be very embarrassing if you don't watch what you're writing and proof it and make sure it's exactly what you need.
Right. That's real. Excuse me. That I'm getting over a cold. Mm. So thank goodness for the mute button.
Yeah.
So there are a lot of people, especially if they pride themselves on grammar, mm-hmm. right? They really, and you know, I think the older generations do. They really learned their grammar, many of them.
Most.
They will really judge you by what is written on behalf of your business. So when you make grammatical errors, they really hold you to that, and they make judgments based on it, you know, online and offline. So that's an important thing to remember. And the other thing that I see sometimes happen in print media is local businesses will create some sort of, you know, they go through the process with a graphic designer, or they write their own copy, unfortunately, quite often. They make these lovely posters, maybe pictures of the people, you know, inside. And they bold certain words and leave other words not bolded. And what they don't realize is that from afar, when you can only read the bolded words,
uh-oh.
You have to be careful about what that message says also. Because sometimes it says exactly the opposite of what you want the piece to say. Sometimes it's a very negative. You know, sometimes mm-hmm. they're trying to highlight, you need this because, you know, this bad thing could happen or this. And they highlight those things to you thinking you're going to be able to read the whole thing. When from afar, it looks like they're telling you, we're terrible, don't ever come near this window, don't walk in this store, you know. There's a lot of thing about writing, a lot of things about writing and copy that you really have to take into account. And if it's not what you do for a living, then you really should look for an expert to make sure that these kinds of things don't happen. I bet you there are numerous cases where businesses have gone to a lot of trouble to create a print piece of media all in-house, all on their own. They're proud of it. It looks lovely. They spent the money. They send it out, and it doesn't have their phone number. Or there's a misspelling, you know, in the phone number
or
the address.
Or yeah.
I'm sure that happens a lot.
Yeah, this
and business cards, too.
Yeah. Oh, God, numerous over the years. But this business one that just blew my mind because they're dealing with businesses, hundreds of them, and they have a reputation, and they didn't proof it finally. And, of course, the good thing about digital is, all right, hundreds and thousands of people may have seen it already, but at least you can go back and correct it.
Yes.
But these printed pieces, or the fact that hundreds of people may have seen it, and noticed that it was wrong, mm-hmm. will create a bad image for you.
And right. You really do only get that first chance to make a good impression, because then it's done. So let's talk about the book writing, which, of course, you know, we mentioned in the beginning. You do help people write books, and I talked about how that's a really good way for people to personally brand themselves. And as a piece of personal marketing. So why do you think people should write books? You know, why should they become authors?
Well,
pitch me. Let everybody out there know that they need to be authors.
Okay. They want to be an authority. The word authority has author in it. So they want to put their message out to show that they are head and shoulders above the other people who might be in their business category that they're competing with. Very few people will go to the trouble of writing a book. I had instant authority when I said, I've written Hiking for the Couch Potato, a guide for the exercise challenge. First of all, they chuckled because I made it intentionally funny, but also it said, oh, she's serious. She's written a book. She's gone through the effort. And I self-published it, but I knew enough people in the industry and knew what to do so that, well, I will challenge anybody who does wind up with my book. There is one mistake. It's in the index. And even though I corrected it, my people didn't correct it and they sent it on to the printer. So I was mad because in the body of the book, I found the mistake. And I said, this also needs to be corrected in the index. And they didn't correct it. So I think that it creates a sense that you know something. I was talking to a banker the other day. He said, oh, I don't want to write a book. I don't know anything. I said, au contraire, you absolutely know a lot about your industry. Tell me something that you know about. I said, I don't know that. That's very helpful to know that. I have an accountant who should write a book. Did you know that if you, and I'm probably going to get in trouble with the IRS now, but
I won't tell them if you won't.
Oh, right. He said that if you file a business extension, you're less likely to get audited. Statistically, it is proven. And I thought, wow, that's interesting. If he knows that little gem, he must know a lot of other things that the average business person might find very valuable. And I'm not giving him a plug because this is a national show and he's a pretty busy guy, but he's very good. And so these kind of things can set you apart and above the other people who do what you're doing because people will keep it. How many times have you tossed a business card in a drawer when you're at a gathering? But if you've got a book, you're going to hang on to that. You might flip through, you might not read the whole thing, but suddenly that person's name gets connected with, wow, they wrote a book. They know their stuff. So that's what I'm suggesting for business owners. It's a branding thing that helps them show that they are an authority.
Right. And I have to agree with you. I'm a big believer, and I say this often, and I got this attitude from Brendan Burchard, who's a brilliant marketer. Everyone is an expert at something. You might not realize it. And a lot of what you do in your business day to day is ordinary to you. Mm-hmm. You don't realize how much knowledge you actually have, and you don't realize how few people know it. Sure, you hang around with other people in your industry, and you all know a lot of the same stuff, and it seems ordinary to you. That doesn't make it ordinary, and that doesn't make it invaluable. It's just the opposite, and I agree with you. That everyone who feels so inclined, you know, to write a book, not everyone wants to be a writer, but everyone who feels inclined really should write a book as part of their marketing because I think it's incredibly valuable.
And there are also a way to do it in a small way so they can be an expert. For instance, I have a 20-page book online that people can download, and it gives key things about writing to help people. And so they could write something to go on their business website that would show their expertise, be downloadable, and then they don't have to go through the arduous task of printing something.
Right, but the actual publishing process.
So that's a small thing that I help people with too, because solidifying what you know in a very small space is a very clearing and helpful thing for a business owner. Like we were talking about, it shows that they know something that's valuable. And so I shared that on my website. 10 Steps to Book Writing Success is my little book within my website.
Well, that's my next question for you. I mean, you're preaching to the choir. I'm a believer, and I'm hoping that that everyone else out in the ACT Local marketing for small business audience is a believer as well. They've heard me talk about, you know, writing books as part of their marketing. They know that I believe in it, and they know that I've been working on mine for a little over a year now, and it takes time. If you're going to write a full book, it does take time, and it takes dedication. You got to fit it in behind the other things you do, but you can't do it without help. You know, I've had help getting bringing mine to fruition, and you do that same thing for other people. So tell us how we can get in touch with you.
Okay. Well, it's Shelley, Shelley, at bookwritingsuccesscoach.com. They can look at my website and email me or contact me through there, bookwritingsuccesscoach.com. They can text me at 480-223-2347 for those of that persuasion who want to text. And I'm happy to work with people from afar. Most of my clients I work with over the phone so that I can talk with them directly, and I could Skype with them as well, or do FaceTime because I'm on iMachines. So I look forward to doing that because I find that people just get this moment of clarity. It's almost like you see the aha moment come in and a cloud over their head. It is so wonderful to see that realization. I've been working with one woman who had a searing personal incident, and I worked with her for months now because she was not a writer. And she really needed a lot of work, but she wanted to write it herself. And we're getting to the point now where I actually stopped her and said, stop, I want to tell you, just wrote something that was gorgeous and poetic, and I'm so proud of your advancement in terms of your writing. So there are moments where it's very gratifying to write the book as well as knowing you're going to be able to use it in a marketing as a marketing tool or just to show people that you've got some expertise.
Well, I love it. And just mention the website again, your website.
Okay. Yes, it's Book Writing, W-R-I-T-I-N-G, Success Coach, C-O-A-C-H, .com.
Okay, book so writing, exactly as it should be in the English language, Book Writing Success Coach, .com, and they can reach you at Shelley, S-H-E-L-L-E-Y,
right,
at Book Writing Success Coach, .com. And we
yes.
will put that in the show notes for anyone listening in their car, if you're on the move. Don't pick up a pencil right now.
Yes,
know?
Please don't drive.
You can always come back to the show notes, and we will list these in the show notes. So you can always look up Shelley Gillespie at actlocalmarketing.com and find the same information as well. And if she's got any of her social media handles, we will also put those in the show notes too, so that you can find her in various ways. And Shelley, it was lovely meeting you today.
Thank you. A pleasure. I really enjoyed this. This was fun.
I love meeting new people. I love talking to people in general, just, you know, one-on-one. This is always a lot of fun for me, but I love picking up the little gold nugget, you know, that people leave behind because it enlightens me further, which is part of, you know, who I want to be as a person. But I like to think that it's helping I'll tell you, last month, I'll brag for a moment. This is, I think, my October stats on Act Local Marketing. We had just over 100,000 downloads.
Wow.
Yeah. So, yay,
great.
Yay, yes. And yes. I will also tell you that the last episode was episode 100. So you are kicking off the next 100 episodes.
Oh, that's great.
So thank you for being here, Shelley Gillespie. Like I said, you'll be able to go search out her website and connect with her. I know many of you have a book in you, so you're going to need to look up Shelley to get her help. And she did offer that free 20-minute consultation where she can help sort of set you on the right course, and then you can decide what to do from there. And to all of you out there, you've been listening to Act Local Marketing for Small Business. We are here every Tuesday afternoon at 1 p.m. Eastern Time with a new episode for you to listen to help you move your business at least one step forward. So until next time, I very much would like you all to take care.
Join Kaylin for more marketing madness each week on Act Local Marketing. It will leave you with more ideas, more understanding, and more knowledge about why and how harnessing the internet gives you the power to bring your business to the next level. Act Local Marketing for Small Business goes live every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Eastern and can be found on iTunes, Stitcher, Podbean, and at actlocalmarketing.com. Have a question for Act Local? Email Kaylin at ask@actlocalmarketing.com. That's ask@actlocalmarketing.com. And she may answer you right on air. Make sure to include your name and business website for a free shout out. Don't forget to tell your friends and colleagues about Act Local and leave Kaylin a review at the iTunes store. See you next time on Act Local Marketing for Small Business.